That's so beautiful. Thank you. Last talk for the month of June, and the month's theme is Living from Divine Wisdom. So we've accomplished that, right? Yay, it took us 4 weeks, but here we are, Living from Divine Wisdom. And today's talk is, it's all good. It's all good. It's funny because how do I get these titles? And how do I get these titles where they are, you know? I mean, I look at the themes for the month. We follow the themes of the Science of Mind magazine. And so I get them a year in advance. And so I plan out the themes for the month and then the talk titles. So this has been, you know, 12 months coming, this It's All Good, when actually, when you look around, it doesn't really feel like it's all good, and it doesn't really look like it's all good. And I was having a conversation. I have a minister's group that I talk with every week, and you know, I said, I don't know what to do with this, because it looks anything but it's all good, you know? And so one of my minister friends says, well, don't worry about it. Just keep the title, It's All Good, put a dash and put WTF, and just do the talk. I was like, okay, so here we are, you know, so it's all good. It is all good, you know. And do you ever have those people that tell you that? It's usually when something disappointing has happened, right? When something unfortunate happens, when we are disillusioned or disappointed, or when things are not working out the way we think they ought to or we have expected them to, there's always little Sally Sunshine who goes bouncing by and going, it's all good, right? You know those people. Don't worry, it's all good. I want to slap those people. Not all the time, but sometimes. I want to line them up, you know, like they did in the Three Stooges, and just go, slap them all sometimes. And on a certain level, I know that what they're saying is correct. I know that what they are saying is correct. I know it's all God. I know it is all God and it is all good. I get that. You get that. We do get that. On some level, we understand that is truth, even when things look like they couldn't get any worse. Now, Ernest Holmes said this in Creative Living. He said, "What the whole world has believed operates through us, but we are not aware of it. So we should not be surprised that we are carrying around with us thoughts that deny the supremacy of good. However, we know that one thought can erase another." That's the whole change your thinking, change your life thing, right? So I get it. I get it. It's all good. Sometimes I just don't want to hear it. Do you ever get like that too? I wonder about that too sometimes. Where does that come from? I just don't want to hear it right now. I know the truth. I just don't want to be reminded of it. Thank you very much. I'm right in the middle of my condition to the contrary. Ever happened to you? Did that ever happen to you, really? I hope I'm not the only one. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like I'm saying, wait, don't stop me now. I'm in my suffering mode. I want to get the most out of it, so please don't tell me it's all good right now. I've got some quality suffering time I'm looking forward to here. I don't want you to talk me out of it. Ernest Holmes said, "God did not create the world, so we have to suffer part of the time in order that we shall not suffer the rest of the time. If the universe demanded suffering, it would destroy itself. Why then do we suffer?" And he goes on to say, "The only reason is because we do not know how not to suffer." He was so funny. Anyway, he said, "How are we going to learn not to suffer?" He said, "First of all, we should be absolutely certain that we can have confidence in the universe. There is a transcendent something in us that rises triumphant over every disillusionment, fear, and failure." So that is the truth. That is our refuge, you know? The interesting part about life is we are hardwired for the negative. If you've read any of the research that is done on the primal brain, this is an ancient thing. It's called evolutionary, it is an evolutionary imprint, and it's called negativity bias. We are hardwired for the negative. This bias served us in survival situations, right? But it can cause distress in our everyday lives. You know, when we sat around the fire, singing songs and telling stories, and it was all nice, and then someone heard a twig snap, we were on alert right away. That's negativity bias. We heard a branch crack under the weight of what? A tiger? An approaching enemy tribe? Whatever. Survival required attention to possible negative outcomes, but requires less attention for positive ones. Because really, that doesn't mean survival for us. So we are hardwired to snap to attention when the negative clues are being brought forth, way more than the positive ones. And here's the tricky part. Because there is a disproportionate amount of attention to negative, when we're seeking balance in our lives, it's not a 50-50 solution. Researchers, Professor Clifford Nass from Stanford, he carefully charted couples and the amount of time couples spent fighting and interacting positively with each other. And he found very specific ratio between the amount of positivity and negativity required to make married life satisfying to both partners. That magic ratio is 5-1. It's not 50-50, it's 5-1. We're doing okay, honey. Five to one, as long as there are five times more positive feelings and interactions between husbands and wives as there are negative, the marriage is likely to be stable over time. Yay, good news, right? But it's not a 50-50 thing. And Professor Roy Baumeister, who was a psychologist with Florida State, he did his own study, and he said many good events can overcome the psychological effects of bad ones. And in fact, he quoted a ratio. Guess what it was? 5-1. Yeah, 5-1. So that's it. So when we are feeling this buildup of negative emotions, we have to look for the good. Five times as much. You know, one of the studies said, put it this way, you are way more upset about losing $50 than you're happy about getting $50. And isn't that true? I mean, really, isn't that true? We will commiserate longer over losing that 50 bucks, right? In however we lost it. We will tell that story for years longer than we remembered gaining $50. You know, it just is. It is just the way it is. But it's only money, what the heck? You know, there are real losses in the world, aren't there? There's real losses. That's just money. The Dalai Lama said this. He said, when we meet real tragedy in life, we can react in two ways, either by losing hope and falling into self-destructive habits, or by using the challenge to find our inner strength. And you know, I guess that's where I've been most of this week, struggling between losing hope and finding inner strength. You know, it seems like things are a little divisive in this country, or is it just me? It seems like we're getting snarkier by the minute. And divisive and separated. You know, I was listening to Stephen Colbert the other night, and he said, you know, our two-party system has made it really difficult for us to love each other. And it's kind of true. And I think this is what's been weighing on me this week, because this is real stuff involving real people, you know? And so how do I keep knowing God is good all this time and see what's happening in the world and keep that balance, that 5-1 balance, right? How do I stay in my inner strength and not lose my hope? That's our process. That's what we're here to do today. That's what we must know. 5-1. to have that inner strength and not lose hope, to know that God is in charge and all is well in spite of conditions. And this talk is not about politics. I'm not going there, right? It's about love. It's about love. I'm gonna say this. Horatio Dresser was Quimby's. He was a patient of Quimby's, and he wrote a lot. And this was taken in 19. He wrote this in 1919. So this is just at the end of World War I. He said, "We realize that justice is social. We're all pondering over the nature of social justice. We're aware it is a great issue. Now that we have turned from war as an external enterprise to interpret the warfare of classes, we are pleading for moral and spiritual considerations as eagerly as before, but we see that, strictly speaking, the moral and spiritual are neither subjective nor objective, but they are social. Hence, we look for clues that point toward cooperation and brotherhood." And that's just as true today as it was in 1919 when Horatio Dresser said it. It's about knowing the good in the midst of things that are happening that can look so much not good. And it's about holding fast to the idea that God is good all the time, and we don't know how this is going to turn out, but I'm going to hold to there is good in the world and we ought to demonstrate it. And that's what our charge is, you know? I kind of look at times like this, it's like trying not to lose hope in the midst of like everything that looks unlike goodness and wholeness and love and peace, right? It's kind of like my pregnancy. I mean, I think about childbirth and that, oh man, that was one of the hardest things I ever did. And it hurt. And it was awful. And there was stuff that came out of me, you know, I hadn't seen in 40 years. There was, it was painful. And you know, and when you're in the middle of it, I know guys, this is gross, okay, but don't worry about it. But when you are in the middle of it, you don't know how long you've been there. And you sure as hell don't know how long it's gonna take. And you're just right in the middle of all this awful feeling, and yet you hold fast to, there's good coming out of this, right? There is good coming out of this. And sure enough, there is. There is. And so I look at it like that, like, wow, we're in the middle of stuff that hurts so bad. I don't know that I can go on. But we go on because we know God is there all along. We know Spirit is there all along. And we must hold to that greater idea that good is coming out of this. All things work together for our good. We just don't know what that is, and we're not there yet, but we know it's coming. You know, I've heard that we infuse everything we do with the energy in which we do it. So we don't want to angry do stuff. Do you know what I mean? We don't want to fight for peace. How stupid is that? You know, I mean, really, when you think about it, we want to infuse everything that we do with the energy of love, with the energy of peace, with the energy of our highest good, the highest intention that we can hold in that moment. And so we have tools to help us do that, you know, but going back to the 5-to-1 ratio, what do we do when we look at the news? Don't look at the news, first of all. Don't look at, limit the control, limit or control the negative in your life, right? So what that means is limit the amount of news you listen to, limit the amount of Facebook you scroll through, limit the amount of social media you're on, limit it. I'm not saying ignore it and play, you know, Pollyanna and like la la la, it's all good, like those people we want to slap. But what I'm saying is limit it. You can be informed without being inundated because it affects your soul. So there are things that we can do to get to that 5-to-1 ratio. Limit or control the amount of negative in your life. Tune out for a time. Tune out of everything. Leave your phone at home. Go walk in nature. Go walk by the beach. Absolutely unplug for a little bit each day. You know what is a great, great thing to increase your 5-to-1 ratio? Music, right? Am I right? Don't you feel better when you sing? Don't you feel better when you are involved in music? Oh my God, who was here Thursday to see Neil Diamond look alike? Holy moly, that guy was amazing, right? Everybody walked out of that concert feeling better. Just everybody was uplifted by that. Music does open our souls, and it soothes us, and it makes us happier. Meditation. We have meditation. I belong to, 1, 2, 3, at latest count, 3 different Power of 8 groups. So I'm doing about an hour and a half more meditation a day than I usually do. And I remember telling John, I'm like, I'm walking around and I feel sort of, it's really interesting, I feel a little untethered to what's going on. Or, you know, that non-attached, in the world but not of it kind of thing. It's just way more than I normally do. But meditation will do that for you. It will allow you to go deep and to be non-attached. So it's peaceful. It's a peaceful place for you to go about your business. Mantra, that beautiful chant that the choir sang us into meditation, was what Ernest Holmes always said. There's only one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. People have referred to it as Ernest Holmes' mantra, although he never did. But they referred to that as Ernest Holmes' mantra because that's what he would say. He would open his prayers or close his prayers with that. He just knew it. So you have those things. You have mantras. You have affirmations. Anybody else have them stuck all over the house like I do? I have them. Yes, thank you, God. You know, I have them stuck on the mirror and you know, in the visor in my car and all kinds of places. Affirmations. All it is just to remind us of the truth when we forget it. That's another thing that will increase our 5-to-1 ratio. Breath work. Who does breath work here? I know we have people that do it. You? Yes? Okay, breath work. Amazing. When you go back to the breath, you go back to the breath, you go back to that place that is stillness. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm breathing. You know, all things considered, this is a good thing. Practice mindfulness. And that's just being where you are when you're there. Because most of the time, aren't we someplace else when we're there? We're here, but we're thinking about the store, or we're thinking about the laundry, or we're thinking about what we need to do on the way home, or we're thinking about what we just did or didn't do, what we blew off on the way to here. All those kinds of things, but we're not here. Practicing mindfulness is being fully present and awake and aware to where you are when you're there. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful gift we give ourselves. Touchstones. I love them. I know Paul, don't we still have some in the bookstore? Those little touchstones that have words on them. You keep them in your pocket, and when stuff starts getting frantic, you know, you put your hand in your pocket and you remember. They have no special power of their own, you know, just like crystals or other stones. There is no special magic power in the stone. It's the fact that we remember when we touch it. We remember who we are. We remember what the truth is. Also increases our 5-to-1. And the practicing gratitude. When we get up in the morning, before we even get out of the bed, before you even get out of bed, think gratitude thoughts. What are you grateful for? The good night's sleep, or the tossing and turning, or the getting up at 4 a.m. so that you could journal. Whatever. What the day is about, the fact that you have food, the coffee's going to be any minute now. You're going to have coffee, right? Yes. Coffee, proof God loves us and wants us to be happy. So there's all kinds of things to be grateful for before you even get out of bed. And then you get out of bed, and what's the first thing you do? Indoor plumbing. That's my most favorite thing to be grateful for. It really is, indoor plumbing. We can be grateful all day long. So it's about bringing those things to our consciousness. And then you have prayer, right? Remember that. That's always a great way to start the day. There's prayer in the morning, there's prayer in the evening. There are prayer request forms in your bulletin. So even if you've never filled one out, fill one out today. And even if the prayer is, you know, I'd like to think more gratitude thoughts, there you go. That in itself is a prayer. So you have prayer. You have prayer requests. You have practitioners. Who's a practitioner here? Raise your hand, practitioners. Look at all these practitioners around the room. You have all of these practitioners to call. They're in your bulletin. I know they are. I see it every week. There's a list of them. Call one of them. Put one on a retainer. You call them up and you say, I don't know what's going on in my life right now, but I'm not seeing the truth. I'm seeing a condition. I'm seeing awful stuff. I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm whatever. And your practitioner will pray with you. That's what we do. That's what we do. We know the truth for you. Then there is hugs and smiles and laughter. Hugs and smiles and laughter. You just can't beat it. Just cannot beat it. Even if you're not a huggy person, you're a smiley person, right? There's hugs, there's smiles, there's laughter. It's a practice also. It brings up that ratio again, the 5-to-1. And then there is spending time in nature. This goes back again to the unplugging. Unplug. Get away from the computer. Get away from Facebook. Get away from Instagram. Get away from Twitter. What else is there? I don't even remember. Get away from the news. Unplug totally. Leave your phone at home. Snapchat. Thank you. Leave your phone at home. Go and walk in the woods or go walk on the beach. We have wonderful, wonderful places here in San Diego. We are blessed. There's all kinds of places to walk out in nature. Spend time in nature. Spend time with critters. Gotta love those dogs and cats, or pals, or horses. What else? Spend time with animals. Animals don't hold grudges. These are all things that we can practice to get that ratio up, that 5-to-1, so that whatever is going on in the greater world, yes, we can make little penguin steps toward it. You want to make a positive influence on those things, or you're called to walk at the border, you know, or you're called to go to those camps, I don't even want to use the word, anyway, places to make your voice known, make your discontent known, but to do it in a positive way. Don't infuse the things that you're choosing to do with the energy of anger. Choose to engage with the energy of love and peace. So yeah, you are called to do something perhaps, or perhaps your call is to hold everything in prayer. Perhaps that is the call for you, only you decide that. After you meditate and after you pray, you will find what's here for me to do. Maybe it's letter writing, maybe it's phone calls, maybe it's holding the high watch. Ernest Holmes said this, he said, we don't have to know the specific means by which our good is coming to us, for it is inherent in the law. We must be sure and never doubt that the good is coming. Our intellect may become a great hindrance or a great help. If the intellect causes doubt, it is hindrance. If, on the other hand, reasons these things through and comes to the conclusion of their reality, it is a great help. And so this is where we find ourselves today. Yeah, maybe looking out on the world and looking at the evening news and looking at the stream of your Facebook, you find things are distressing, upsetting, less than perfect. The conditions are not out picturing. Oh, man, if I ruled the world. You know, you have those feelings, right? Things would be better, boy. Well, Ernest Holmes gave a talk in April of 1942. And I want to finish with this, because this was, right when World War II was starting up. He said, during these trying times through which we are passing, it is natural that we occasionally find ourselves caught in the meshes of mental depression. These are moments when we feel as if the whole world is holding its breath, tense with the expectation of evil tidings. Here is a wonderful opportunity for those of us who believe in spiritual power to try a simple but effective experiment. And then he went on to do the talk. But this is the experiment that he's asked us to do. Make a habit of spending a few moments every day making the following declaration, and it is his affirmative statement that he made. And I have it here, and I made copies of it, and you'll find it outside these doors. Okay, outside these doors, if you want to take a copy home with you and say it, and we can engage in this suggested experiment from 1942. These are his words. I am filled with inexhaustible energy of life. I am filled with a limitless enthusiasm for living. There is a deep calm at the center of my being which is undisturbed, which is forever at peace with the universe around me. I know the power of God will prevail, And that there is being worked out right now in the minds of men everywhere a divine pattern of freedom, protection, and cooperation for all people. I know that no thoughts of doubt or depression can enter my consciousness. There is nothing in me that receives them. I live in the buoyancy of spirit. There is no doubt in my consciousness. I have an ever-deepening appreciation for all people, an ever-deepening sense of gratitude for the knowledge that spirit cannot be assailed. I know that good is coming to everyone and that all problems are solved. Neither fear nor self-pity can operate through me. I am alive with spirit, with joy, and continuously upheld by a deep, unshakable conviction that there is a presence and a power and an intelligence in the universe which is working out a perfect pattern for human conduct and relationships. I rest in this peace, in this joy, and in this love. I know that this is not only true of myself, it is true of every person who lives. This is our suggested experiment. This is our prayer. And this is my invitation to you. Let's do this together. Thank you.